We are ready. Is it recording yet? We are ready now to start on chapter 4, banking. Banking. Checking, savings accounts. So we're going to do that today. We should finish it up today. We normally do. We'll learn how to do a check register, a check reconciliation. Chapter 2 is due, so is chapter 1. And a lot of you have not turned in your assignments yet. Turn them in, even if they're late. There's a penalty that grows over time, but it is in your best interest, in my humble opinion, to do these, not just from your grade standpoint, but also from your personal financial success. Yes? You know, I'd rather you not, but if you do, please create PDF files. There's a document on the class website for the online students that describes how to submit assignments. If you do send me something, make sure you have the class and the assignment number in it, because we get dozens of emails every day and I lose things and then think, "Did you get my email?" Probably sitting there with all the others I didn't look at. So yes, I'd rather you print it out. It's just easier for me. Okay. So who's got a good joke? Anybody have a good joke? Nobody has a good... The other class, they have... Well, she has bad jokes. She sits right here and she has really bad jokes. You want to hear one of her jokes? No, you don't.
Sure.
You do? Okay. How come kleptomaniacs can't understand puns?
Why?
Because they're always taking everything literally. You like that? Okay. Do you think that's better than mine? Okay, all right. All right, so I'll tell you Kathleen's jokes. But I have the bar jokes. Don't you want a bar joke? No? Yeah, he wants one. Okay, did I tell you about the alligator and the bear and the mushroom and the lamp? How about the sophisticated, well-dressed, svelte, attractive condominium that walked into a bar? You didn't hear this one, did you? Right. So this, see if you can get this one. This is pretty bad. Okay, so this attractive, sophisticated, well-dressed, svelte condominium walks into a bar and she orders a daiquiri because, you know, she's sophisticated, right? So the bartender goes to make the daiquiri and there's this stately Windsor mansion on the other side of the bar who gives the bartender a look like, "I'll pay for this, my good man." So the bartender makes the daiquiri and brings it to the attractive, sophisticated, well-dressed, svelte condominium who takes out her purse and goes to pay and says, "How much?" And he says, "No, that's okay. It's on the house." He's the house. I knew you'd want that. Okay, so let's pass these puppies out here. Banking. Do you have a banking account? Do you have a checking account? You don't have checks, do you? You don't buy checks. You young folks, you don't have checks. What happens if you need to make a payment to somebody that doesn't have... I guess all your friends have PayPal or whatever it is. What? What's it? Cash? Zello or Zellers? What did you call it? Zell? I don't know. I still have checks. So we'll work, but either way, whether you have a checkbook or not, we're going to learn how to reconcile your account with the bank. Overdraft fees now average $35 per transaction, and that was 2013, so this is a little old. How much is your overdraft fee? $30. $35. $37. Who's got a credit union? How much is the overdraft fee? You don't know? You've never done it? $4. $4 at Mission Federal. Navy Federal is zero, right? For the first, how many? Navy Federal is zero. They don't give you an overdraft fee, but only for, I think, a few every month. They don't do unlimited. So, there are various types of deposit institutions, but the two biggest ones now are commercial banks and credit unions. Is there a difference? Is there a difference between a commercial bank and a credit union? What are they? What are the differences? Credit union is going to give you higher interest rates. They're going to have lower fees. But they're not going to... You walk in... Well, no, some of the credit unions do this. But you walk into a bank, and what do? Hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I want to bear all your children. They just... And why is that? How do you know a bank is making money? The doors are open, yes. Yes, if the bank's doors are open, they're making money. When you grow up, you want to be a bank, which you really can't be. So the next best thing would be a banker, right? The two different types of deposit types institutions, that the main ones, are the commercial banks, which are for-profit. They are insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And then the credit unions, which are non-profit. They're insured by another agency of the federal government, National Credit Union Association. Is your money safe? Is your money safe in these two institutions? Yeah, it is. The federal government ain't going to go anywhere, even with Pinchy Trump in charge. It's up to $250,000 per bank. So if you had more than that and you're really worried about it, you can move it, half of it, to another bank and the like, and you're not going to lose any money. But some people are still frightened by the banks, in which case they use other institutions, such as money market mutual funds, which we'll look at later. They'll take checkbooks, post office, convenience stores for money orders, cash checking outlets charges, pawn shops, loan until pay. Where do you see these things? Do you see these in Dulmar and Rancho Santa Fe? No. Where do you see these loan until payday places? Nasty City, Sanya Skid Row. And there's some cultural things involved here. Many in the Mexican culture do not trust the banks, with good reason. You know, in the 1980s and then again in the 1990s, the banks in Mexico literally stole people's money, literally just disappeared the money. And so there's some cultural things. But many of these people just simply have not... take in Business 121, for example. They have not learned that these places are screwing them royally. These 1%, the upward 3%, they take your paycheck. And what they will say, and this is their defense, but you don't understand the risk we're taking. It's bull. These people, this is their job. They can smell a bad check coming half a block away. They want people who have a steady paycheck, who have a job, mostly the poor and working poor, not well educated, and they take, you know, they just ream them. They just bend over and give it to them. So if you know anybody in your family or something like that, have them take Business 121 or show them these slides and show them how to balance their checkbook. And they'll say things like, well, last time I did that, I got so much in trouble and they hit me with the overdraft fees. That's why they need to take this class. They need to learn how to do it. It's not that hard. There are craps to help you. I'm sorry. Slaps on your smell phone. Apps. There are apps to help you now. We're going to show you how to do it with a spreadsheet, which I think is a whole lot easier. Okay, excellent. So, where do you put your money for savings, right? Well, in the credit unions and the banks, they have savings accounts. Now, legally, at the credit union, it's not called a savings account, although everybody calls it a savings account. Legally, it's a share account. But it's basically the same thing. It works the same. And then there are CDs, certificates of deposit, which are kind of like savings accounts, but you have to leave it for 7 days or 30 days or 6 months or whatever. Now, if you go to the bank and say, I have $77,000 in my savings account. I want the money now. Are they going to give it to you? Well, they'll ask you, sure, we can write you a check, a bank check, a cashier's check, which is based on the bank and or the credit union. It's very good. You can. No, I want my cash. What are they going to say?
Wait a few days.
One day. Come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, because we don't have that. Do they have that much money sitting in the bank branch? A few branches, maybe in high, you know, in the downtown areas where there's a lot of transactions going on. But no, they don't have that kind of cash sitting around. In the ATM machine is $250,000 for the weekend. You think they think the ATM machine is safe? Just go on YouTube and look for people who tried to break the ATM machine with the pickup truck. So they will then call in and say, this guy wants $77,000 tomorrow. Can you bring it over? Okay, we'll do it. They'll schedule the delivery. And then they'll call the FBI. Yeah? Because the bank, the credit union, and other financial institutions are required to report suspicious activities. Suspicious activities. And how much is a suspicious activity? People will say 10 grand. Now, what they're confusing it with is if you cross the border with 10,000, either way, in or out of the United States, with more than $10,000, you have to report that. It's not illegal. You're allowed to carry the money around. But you have to report that you're leaving the country or going into the country with more than $10,000. But there is no dollar amount. It has to be suspicious. And so it's up to the bank or credit union to decide whether it's suspicious or not. And they're not allowed to tell you they did it. They're not allowed to tell you that they called the FBI. How's that?
The FBI already
knew. No, they didn't. Now they do. And so what happens is that people will come up to me after this class and go, my mom has $77,000 hiding in the house. And we're trying to get her to put it in the bank. Good idea. But we're afraid now. We're afraid to put it in the bank because you said we're going to call the FBI. So I thought, oh, what the hell am I doing now? So I called the FBI, and I finally got to talk with a retired agent who still does some work. He said, oh, just put it in. Don't be cute. Don't bring in $5,000 every day or $10,000. Just bring it in and deposit it. And I said, you sure? He goes, yeah, we see it a lot. We see it a lot. So just do it, you know, because what happens if your house burns down?
You don't worry, it's safe. No one's going to find it.
What if you die?
They're not going to, you'll worry, you'll find it.
Or what happens to you if this happens? Somebody buried, where is it? Let's see if I can find it. No, not that one. It's actually in, or is it, maybe it's in this one too. A very good reason not to worry. Yeah, a woman, a Chinese woman buried her life savings under her kitchen. And the worms got it. Go away. Yes. She buried it, and somehow the worms got in and ate the paper. Well, not paper. Linen. So, are you going to do that? See? She sealed the money in a plastic bag, put it in a metal box, and my life savings, so I'm going to bank, see if they have any solution. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Further evaluation. So are you going to put money under your, bury it under the house or whatever like that?
No.
Thank you for saying no. Everyone should say no. Thank you for saying, are you going to put it, you're going to keep it in your house?
No.
Everyone should say no. Are you going to keep it in your house?
No.
If your mother or grandmother doesn't trust the banks, you're going to show her that article, show this class. Now, the checking accounts, the share drafts accounts, the overdraft protection, we used to just tell people, get the overdraft protection. You know, even if you have to tie it to a line of credit, tie it to your savings account, tie it to a line of credit, because if you know you don't want to write a check, which you guys don't do, you don't want to be embarrassed by that. So the banks go, ah! They see that younger folks, they go to Jimba Jamba Jumba Juice to buy 800 calories of sugar, and they don't pay $4.79. They just swipe their debit card, right? Isn't that what you do? 800 calories of sugar, you swipe your debit card. And so they say, oh, we don't want you to suffer the embarrassment of being declined for 800 calories of sugar. We'll let it go through and charge you $37 on top of the $4.79. So I recommend, and now the law says you have to opt in. The bank has to ask you, is it okay for us to screw you? I mean, is it okay for us to allow these transactions to occur and hit you with a $37 overdraft fee? So if you and the flowery language is, oh, you don't want to be embarrassed by it. So be careful with these boobs. We'll talk about money market accounts later on, trust accounts, very hoity-toity asset masses. Wait till we get to investments. But these are people, yes?
You can call the bank and have a ton of overdraft like explain the situation and be really sweet to them, and they will arrange all of them for you.
They may. She said, you can call the bank or the credit union, and I'm sorry, I got a ton of overdraft. Can you get rid of them? They may do it. They may not.
Yeah.
It's
worth from putting it in a check from savings to checking to not you do like for my bank if you do like 3 months you get charged like this. Yeah. Charged like $5.
Who is this?
Union Bank.
Union Bank? I used to have to deal with them for somebody else and I was it was Union Bank. It was right next to the brokerage firm I worked at when I started working as a broker. They're gone now. And so I'd go in there every couple months. And this same woman, dressed very nicely, sitting at the desk, a branch manager, was having the same conversation. I don't know if it's the same person. Yes, we're sorry. It will not happen again. We promise it won't happen again. It was like Monty Python. Every time you walked in there, she said, yes, we're so sorry. It won't happen again. So once you into the hoity-toity, you get a trust account or an asset management account. Have you heard of vacation clubs or Christmas club accounts? See, these were started back in the 1950s, in the modern age, where Miss Modern Day Agogo Housewife, take a few dollars out of every week's allowance and bring it and put it in the Christmas Club account, and we'll give you a toaster, and we won't pay you any interest. And at the end of the year, you can pull it out without any interest and use it for Christmas. And so they disappeared after women started getting smart. But they've come back. I don't know why. I guess interest rates are so low. What difference does it make? But who knows? Who's going to tell me what tanda or kundina or paluagan is? Who can tell me what those are?
It's when you get, it's like a group of people.
A group of people?
About 10.
10.
And then it's like everyone puts in at least like $100 a month.
$100 a month.
A month or a week. And then like one person a month gets all that money. And then it goes.
Right. There's usually somebody who organizes it. They're usually number one. And everybody else takes a number, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And this is very popular in Mexico and in the Philippines. Because, again, they don't trust the banks. So they stick together. And when I heard this from a woman who was raised in Mexico, that she was doing a kundina, a tanda, I listened to her. This was a long time ago. I said, you serious? Oh, yeah. Oh, this is how we save money. And so, obviously, the first person gets their money right at first. It's not a pyramid scheme. I don't think it's illegal. It's a group. It's a partnership, if anything, if the IRS was involved. But there's no money. There's no value added. Nobody's making any interest. So the last person gets their money at the end of the 10 weeks or the 10 months. So I said, I'm Italian. Did I tell you why we Italians don't like Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, let me tell you. It's nothing personal. It's just that we Italians don't like any witnesses. Okay? And so I said to her, I grew up in Philadelphia, okay? I said, now what happens if somebody, takes the $100,000 and just disappears or doesn't pay? And she looked at me like I said, what happens if somebody goes and eats a baby or something? That just wouldn't happen. They're serious, right? No. So it's not like, it's cultural, right? These people are friends. These are family. You don't do that to family. We do it to family. I mean, if we did that, it's in Philadelphia. If we did that, first of all, nobody would pony up the money. He's like, he's crazy. But if we did that, say I did it. I'd take the money and say, I teach you a good lesson. Don't trust nobody. Okay? So it's cultural, right? It's a very different world. And so I said, what happens if somebody gets sick or someone loses their job or something? Then we would all pitch in and help and stuff. So, okay, I got it. Okay, I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying if it's part of your culture, just be careful. Because instruction about syphilis is not instruction to go get syphilis. Some people get very angry that we teach about these things in the schools. No, we're not teaching them to go get it. We're not teaching them so they get pregnant or get syphilis. We're teaching them so they don't get it. Okay, checking accounts. De rigor, meaning kind of sort of just is the way it is. Do you have a free checking account? Yeah? Yeah, especially the younger folks. And this was a long time ago. Now they're not allowed to. And the banks and the credit union companies would come on campus and try to get you to sign up for a credit card. They don't not allowed that anymore. We forced them off before the law came on. We jumped up and down, screamed and hollered. But now they come on, and you gotta be careful. You come on campus with me out here. I said, now what are you doing? Oh, we're giving away free checking account for students, and we give them education, and we show them how to balance how to reconcile. I said, oh, cool, okay. So it should be free. But there are other forms, older forms, that you may be interested in, a certified check, a cashier's check. Cashier's checks are something that are based, these are actually not too bad, but you don't see them as much anymore. They are based on the bank, on the credit union. And they'll usually charge you $5-$10 for these things now. They used to give you one or two free, usually. But this is when you want to do a big transaction. You're buying a car or a home or something like that. You would take $25,000, $100,000 via cashier's check, and it was good as gold. Now they don't want it anymore. They want you to wire the money, which is about $20-$25 both sides. But you know it's good as gold. It goes from the one bank to the other bank with no, they don't wait 3 days or 10 days or whatever. Now people are using their debit cards, their credit cards, their gift cards and smart cards. Why do they want you to buy a gift card for Target? Right. They know you're going to spend it there. And, Laura?
You lose it.
You lose it. You forget about it.
They're good for laundering, too.
They're good for laundering?
Yeah, if you're buying anything illegal, they want cryptocurrency or gift cards.
Yeah,
they just resell them.
But then you have to.
But how big a transaction can you do with a gift card?
Well, if you they can ask for as many as you need. $4,100 gift cards.
I'm going to walk around with $4,100 gift cards. All right, okay. Whatever.
And American Express one?
American Excuse?
You can get gift cards that aren't for a place. They're just
right. They're squeeze you in, monster card. Now, why is Apple? Why is Android? Why are they getting into the act here? When you grow up, you want to be a bank. See, Apple has over almost $200 billion in cash. Walmart's been trying to be a bank for 20-some-odd years.
They have MoneyGram now, right?
Yeah. MoneyGram is a different company, though. I'm sure they're making money off of it, right? But MoneyGram is like Western Union. That's just sending money. We're talking about payments. You see, every single time you swipe that debit card, you swipe that credit card, Visa, ching. The monster cards, ching, they're going to raise the rates, I'm sure. And do you think it's free, folks? You get to use the debit card, you think it's free? No, you're paying for it. It's baked into the items that you're buying. So it's so convenient.
Might as well.
That just makes it worse, right? You might as well bend over. I like cash. I don't know about you, but I like cash. Okay, what does ATM stand for?
Money.
Always taking money. I'm sorry? A ton of money, always taking money. Yeah. This is the computer terminal that allows customers to conduct banking transactions. We're going to ask you, part of the assignment is to compare the ATM fees. And some companies, some banks, are now refunding the ATM fees that you pay from other, if you don't go to their tellers. And so, I guess that's cool. Have you heard of Banner Bank or USAA?
Yeah, I have their car insurance.
Yeah, you can get their debit card, and then you can go to any institution, and then they'll rebuy. I think up to so many a month. They don't do it forever, but they'll do so many of a month, which is pretty cool, I think. Don't you think? Okay, cool. Okay, let's continue. Now, savings plans. Interest rates are coming up. We're going to see that interest rates are coming up, but they're still really, really low. But in this chapter, we're going to discuss what's called the APY, the annual percentage yield. And in the next chapter, it's going to be what we pay, interest rate, APR, annual percentage rate. This is set. It's a set methodology that has to be used by the banks and credit unions so that you know if they say you're getting 4%, you're getting 4%. If the next bank says you're getting 3%, you're comparing apples to apples. It didn't used to be that way. Some would say they're getting 4%, but you're really not. But now it's set law. Remember the marginal tax rate that you want to forget after Chapter 3?
Yeah.
don't, because we're going to come back to it. We're going to continue to use it. What is your after-tax rate of return? We discussed the after-tax cost, and in that one, it was at the bottom of the formula. Here, it's in the top. Whatever we're getting paid, say we're getting 4%. If we're in the 25% tax bracket, 22%, 12%, whichever tax bracket we're in, you take 1 minus the tax bracket, which we did in the bottom, in the denominator. Now we're doing it in the top. Multiply it times the rate. So 75%, the complement, what we get to keep, times 0.04 means we're only getting 3% after taxes. So even if you're earning 4%, after you pay the taxes on the interest you earn, you're actually earning about 3%. And people get really upset when you're helping them with their taxes, because they have this 1099 from their credit union or the bank, and they earned all of $25 last year in interest. And they put it in to TurboTax or whatever program, if you're at the Vita or Vita folks, and then it reduces their refund by $6. And they get angry at you. It's all your fault. Well, sure, lady, we don't have to put it in there, and you have the IRS send you a letter. Why didn't you pay it? So after-tax rate of return. Remember, marginal tax rate, we'll come back and get us, and we'll come back and look at it later on when we get the investment. Now, it turns out that more than half of Americans do not reconcile their checkbook balances. A lot of people now just look online. They don't get the statement anymore. But if you don't do this, folks, and we're going to teach you how to do it, it's not that hard until it is. It's normally not that hard, especially if you keep good records. You are essentially saying to the bank or the credit union, hey, you guys tell me how much money is in my account. Are you with me? If you don't keep tabs on them, do they make mistakes? Yeah. They do. It's very rare. The systems are so sophisticated. There's so many redundant checks that it's very rare. But it happens. One day I woke up, me, and I had $30 extra in my account. And I said, well, this is weird. You know, I called up Mission Federal, who I've been with for over 30 years. And they said, thank you very much. We'll take care of it. 20 minutes later, it was gone, right? So if you all of a sudden have $100,000 in your account, what are you going to do? Spend it quickly? Now you got the FBI on your hands, okay? Because anything that has to do with the banks is federal, and the FBI comes after you, so don't do that. What?
Charitable donation.
Charitable donation, yeah. I know some people are charity cases, but it doesn't work that way. So we're going to learn how to do the check reconciliation. Excuse me. We will first use the forms. We'll first use the manual forms with a calculator. And you're going to say, it's not that hard. Then we'll take a look at a check register spreadsheet, which makes life a whole lot easier. And then there are these other programs like Quicken and all these other money management crap apps that will help you do it. But, okay, so everybody got your handouts? Yeah? So here on the one handout, where's mine? Okay, I got one. On page, or the very last page, just go to the very last page. I gave you a few of these things, right? Three of them? I gave you three of these. Check reconciliation forms. I have two extras in my office if you need them, so you can download them from the website. But this is a check reconciliation form. And the steps that are identified here are at the bottom of the page. So we're going to walk through these steps together. Cool? Yeah? And it's a piece of cake. It's not hard until it is. When does it get hard? When you forget to put a transaction in. Or you make an arithmetic error and it doesn't come out. And you go, what did I do? So we'll learn some techniques for that. But as we said, once we use the spreadsheet, many of those errors will disappear because we won't be making that many arithmetic errors. Okay, so let's now. How do we do? See, this thing, it didn't used to be that big. Let's leave it up there. Okay, let's leave it up there. So now. Where am I? Other one we got back here. Okay, so now we're going to do practice problem number one. So this is page 3. And then there's a practice, yeah, page 3. There's a practice problem number 2. See? And so you can practice, do these over again. And then there's an assignment, which is very similar to practice problems 1 and practice problems 2. So, a long time ago, we used to have these things. Anybody still use this? A check register? You remember these? I'm old, what can I say? I don't trust computers. Okay, I think with good reason. They screw up. So I write everything down manually. Okay, and then I use a spreadsheet. I use a spreadsheet to make life a lot easier. I don't do the calculations here, but I make sure everything is written down so that when the whole thing just falls apart and I'm waiting for that internet fad to blow over. One of these days we're going to wake up, you know, Putin's boys and girls, and they're going to bring the whole thing to a crash. But here, you can play around with this because I got too many of them. Take a look. So, but this is what we're trying to replicate right here. We're trying to replicate this guy right here on the reconciliation worksheet. So we got the number and the date, the description, and then we have either payments or debits. I hate that word. You accountants in there? Don't go screaming in the night. This is a checkbook. Debits and credits. Why don't they just call it, Tweedledum and Tweedledumber? And then what's this check mark here for? We'll come back to that later. Any fees, which we're not going to use today. And then the deposits, which are credits. Have you ever figured, you're accounting majors. Are you any accounting students in here? No? None? Nobody's taking account? Okay, forget it. In accounting, when you reduce cash, you credit cash. I've never figured that one out. It's the only weird one. Anyway. And then the last thing is the running balance, the balance actual. Cool? Nod your head yes? So what we do now is we're going to fill out the check register. And again, today, if we have time, if not, next Tuesday, I'll show you a spreadsheet that makes life a whole lot easier. There are probably 50,000 of them on the InfernalNet that you can download for your own usage. But I'll show you 2. So what's number 1? Not number 1. Check, first check. What is it? Eric? Check 5/10, and the date is? And you can write it however you want. I usually do 8 January. It's up to you. And who is it to?
Candace Wade.
Nope, can't wait. Okay, Candace Wade. And is it a payment or a deposit? Every tough question, folks. It's a debit. It's a payment or deposit. It's a charge against our account. So we would put it in this column. That's what the banks have, all 2 different columns. So that's what, $72.95? Now, what was our initial starting balance here? People in the cheap seats up here, everyone. Well, what's the initial starting balance? You may think I'm crazy, you may be right. But when you talk, it actually helps you learn better. So the balance is $795.56, right? 56. So here's where you could use. Notice I have 1 or 2 lines. Some people will put. No, I'm not going to write. I did that once. I'm not the only one. Don't write on the wind on this thing because it doesn't come off. But you put the $795.56 here, and then some people will put the amount right here. You hit it also here, and then have the next line be the balance. That's up to you. I just put one transaction per line. You decide. So what is the new balance? Eric, did you do that already? Okay. Anybody got get your calculators out?
722.61.
Going once, going twice. Piece of cake. Okay. Next transaction. How about it there? Who should we bug on? Who should we bug on there? Mr. Oh, sorry. Again, your name again? Andrew, right. Andrew, I knew that. Andrew, I just wanted to check if you knew. What's the next transaction? After Candace? What's the next transaction? Check number 511. What's the date? This is a tough question. What's the date? January 12th, yes. What's your name, Bob? Who is it to? Loudly reject from your diagram so everyone can hear. Estelle Hertz! Estelle Hertz? And how much is it for? $44.80. Cool? So is it a charge or a credit? Is it a deposit or a payment? Everyone should say payment. See, if you don't, I think you're falling asleep. See, I was a math major, and did I tell you this already? We perfected the art of sleeping with our eyes closed. Yeah, I mean, it was very useful in some classes. What is the guy talking about? But no, if you don't talk back to me, I think you're one of me. Okay, so now we take that from our balance. So 722.61 minus 44.80. Eric says 677.81. Mm-hmm. Andrew, is that what you got on your calculator?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. So next transaction. Oh, next transaction. What's the next transaction? Who's next? Who's after Andrew? There's Mr. Saif, right? Okay, what is the next transaction? It's a deposit of 750. Oops. It's a deposit. Let's put down the deposit first. What day is it? 18th. Now, what I do, and you don't have to do this, I put DEP right there. So I put something there. You don't have to. But now, where does the deposit go? Is it a payment or it's a deposit? So it goes over in this column, 755. So our new balance, somebody besides Eric, because he's already had too much fun. Yes, Kiana? Kenya. 1378.36? See, here's where this is why people will get so upset. You make one mistake as you're going down the column, and you're screwed. You're not going to get it balanced. And that's why spreadsheets are so cool, because we just make fewer mistakes. It doesn't mean you can't type in the wrong number, right? But you're going to see that if you can't get it to balance, if you can't get it to reconcile, check this first before you do anything else. People start trying to find that lost transaction, but it's usually right here. Okay, next. Who's next? No, I'm sorry, not Noah. It's Christian. Christian Marin. I mailed the check for, where's it going? Debit or credit? Debit, 109.33. So did you do it already there, Christian? No, that's why we got our calculators. 1,269.03. 1,269.03. Piece of cake? Is this that hard? No. Is this more important than learning how to do quadratic equations? Yes. And the math professors are so angry now, up and down the state, because we're making the case, I'm not the only one, but others of us, are making the case that this is more important than intermediate algebra for an associate's degree. And they're saying, you're right. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're saying, no, they must learn to think critically. Yes, they must. But there are more ways than thinking than just math. You know, how many child development majors or culinary arts majors or administration of justice majors are going to have to do quadratic equations? How many math majors are going to have to do quadratic equations? Except when they're teaching. When you get out in the industry, it's already done for you. Okay, the PhDs get to do that. That's what happened. I got to get right out of college. I had my Bachelor of Arts in Mathematics, Applied Mathematics, Computer Science minor. I got a job at a math firm, believe it or not, and I didn't do any equations. No, I think I did a couple. They were all given to me by the PhD associates. I was like, okay, fine. And I went back to one of them. I said, why is this so overly complicated? And he goes, I don't know. This is why we do it. Because it was way overcomplicated. We can do it a lot easier. No, no. Just do it the way I tell you to do it. Okay, who's next? Who's next? Arturo.
Check
513.
Sarah Bellum.
What's the date?
January
20th. Who's this? Sarah Bellum? Think about it. Maybe something will click back in this Sarah Bellum. All right, so now, so what's our new balance? Have you done this already, Arturo? Have you did this? You didn't do it? Not hard. Got a calculator? That's okay. Who's next? Who's next? Who has done it already? Eric. No, not that Eric. That's, Tiana. I used to be able to know your name again. Jonathan. Okay, Jonathan Guerra. Okay. What's the new balance? And 6 cents? 26 cents. Sorry. Yeah, my hearing's not that great. Okay, and then last transaction there, Mauricio. Goes in the deposit column, January 31st, and whether you want to put, that's a J and an A and an N, whether you want to put DEP here is up to you. So now, very important number. What is our ending bank statement balance? 1362.11. Okay, again, one mistake, you're screwed. It's that simple. And that's why we like spreadsheets. Okay, piece of cake. Now, what we're going to do is, okay, we'll now take a look at the reconciliation worksheet. There it is. Over here. Oh, by the way, the morning class, the morning investment class, look how well we've done. We've taken $100,000 and turned it into almost $110,000 just a few weeks. But why? Because somebody, the marijuana stock killed us. Somebody, the marijuana stock is killing us. But look what somebody chose. Have you ever heard of PG&E? They're going through bankruptcy now because they caused a few fires that totaled billions of dollars. But they're going to survive, and somebody had the gumption to say, let's buy the stock. We'll see. They might not. The stock, the company will survive, but who knows what's going to happen to the stock. So that's the exciting stuff you're missing in the other class. Okay. So here's the reconciliation worksheet. So now, the first step is to record the cleared checks. And this is where the check mark comes in, folks, on the manual. When we do it electronically. You can change the color. It's really cool. But in the manual, you're going to put a check mark next to transactions that have cleared. So now, how do we do that? In the olden days, BI, before the internet, you would get a statement in the mail. Once a month, you get a statement in the mail, and it would show you, in fact, they used to return your checks, too. They would show you which checks have cleared. So that's on this side over here, right? That's the checks, withdrawal, and payment. So which checks have cleared? Who's next? Carlos. Which checks have cleared? Which checks do you see in the statement, which you now go online to see? Which checks have cleared? Can you see it? Can you see it?
Wait, are all those cleared?
The ones that are over here have been paid.
Okay.
The bank is telling you. Now, you used to get a statement, you used to get a payment, you used to get a piece of paper. But now it's all online, right? They don't want to send you a statement. They'll charge you $5 or $10 if they have to send you a statement. So which checks have cleared?
510.
So we put a check mark next to 510.
513.
And 513, right? Not 515. 513. Okay, do you see that? Put a check mark next to the checks that have cleared. Which checks are outstanding? outstanding. That's number two. So the next, what happened? Oh, right, over here. The next thing we do is identify, I'm going to need some room over here. Identify outstanding checks. Those are the checks without the check mark. If you put the checks with the check mark, what's going to happen? It ain't going to work, and you get a sapapo. Sapapo, dope slap. So don't do that. Put the ones without the check marks. And where do they go? You see where it says checks outstanding on your reconciliation form? Everybody should nod their head yes. Thank you.
Are we writing
this on the back of the paper? Yeah, I apologize. I used to give it out separately. Just pull the last one off to make it easier. I used to give them out separately, but then people would lose them, so I put it together. But now I'm thinking, so just pull the last page off so that you can see both pages at one time. And again, as I said, I have extras in the office. If you want them, you can print them out, download them. So you don't have to keep going back and forth. So which checks are outstanding? 510 and 513? No. The checks that have cleared. That's the terminology the banks use. Those transactions, those checks have cleared. These checks are still outstanding. So where it says checks outstanding, we put the checks. Which checks are they? 511, 512. You don't have to put the date and the amount. You have to put the amount. But you don't have to put the date. What are the dates? 12th of January and 19th of January. But what's more important is are the amounts, right? So what's the 511 for? 4480. And what's the 109.03? 33, I'm sorry. Just see if you're listening. And so what's the total? 154.13? Everybody get 154.13? Is this that difficult? No, it's not. You just have to do it enough times, and then you'll go, oh, okay, I got it. And now we're going to do the exact same thing with deposits. We're going to do but they don't use the same terminology, the darn bank. What they call deposits that have cleared, they don't say that, they call them confirmed. Your bank or credit union will say, was... okay, really? If it's funny, I love to hear it. Deposits that have confirmed. So we go back to the statement. Let's go back to the statement and find out which deposits have been confirmed. Whoa. Which deposit that was confirmed? You see it on the statement? Nod your head, yes. Or go, no, Frank, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, so we put a check mark here. Again, on the computer, we can change the color. Excuse me, pardon me. What about the deposit that we made at the end of the month?
No.
That's a deposit in transit. They don't say it's outstanding. They might say it's outstanding, but their terminology is a deposit in transit. Now, dear students, this is going to happen very infrequently to you. Why? Because their systems are so sophisticated now, even though the deposit has not been confirmed yet, their system, you put it in an ATM or whatever, their system will say pending. Is that what you see? Have you seen that? Pending or...
like a different color. When you look
at it. Exactly. They have not confirmed it yet. You told them you put the darn thing in the ATM, but they haven't gone through, checked it, and verified it. So it's a deposit in transit. So you're going to see this fewer and fewer that we're going to need to do this because their systems do it for you, even though they haven't confirmed it yet. So which deposit is in transit? The one with the check mark or one without the check mark?
Without.
Everyone just say the one without. Wait until I ask you, because he's going to remember when you do it. Do we use the one with the check mark or without the check mark?
Without.
If you do the one with the check mark, what do you get? Sapapo. Okay, you get a sapapo. So that goes, everybody see the spreadsheet? Good. So On the 31st of January, we made a deposit for $118.85. And you're going to see this very infrequently, so don't sweat it, but we need to learn how to do it. Okay, so those are the first four procedures. Piece of cake, right? I think so. We go through, record the transactions that have cleared, identify the ones that haven't cleared yet, the outstanding, record the deposits that have been confirmed, and then identify the deposits that are in transit. Now, the last one here, five, is the one that can drive you nuts because you forget to write it down or type it into your spreadsheet or whatever, your crap app on your smell phone. And these are the transactions that were left out of the check reconciliation, the check register, and that can make the reconciliation very difficult. So where do these guys go? Top disk. Okay. They're going to be over this area right here. This area right here of the reconciliation worksheet is our side. This is our side, and this is the bank side. Okay? So this is where we're going to sneak in those transactions that we forgot about. So we're going to put additions. And then we notice we have a place already for interest. And then we have some others. Others. And then we have a total. And then we have a place for deductions. Did I give myself enough room? No, of course not. I never do. Plan ahead. Bank service charge. And then any other deductions. Other. And then a total. All right, so this is our side. Our side. So, do we see, let's go back to this statement now. Do we see any transactions that we left out of our check register? Mm-hmm. What do you see? What do you see there? The checking service charge. Again, if you just sign up for automatic deposit, sign up for no statements, electronic email statements. They're not going to charge you with this. But where does that go? We have a place for that. We have a place for a service charge on the reconciliation worksheet. So that would go right here under bank service charge. Questions, thoughts? Okay, good. Remember, on the website is a presentation for the online students. So you can go over this again. Any others that you see? Oh, we forgot to write down. We took $60. Oh, that didn't work out too well for she or win. But anyway, or he. ATM withdrawal for $60. And then those always taking money jerks take $2.50 from us. So we did not put these in the register. Now some people say, well, I'll just go back and put it in the register. Okay, do it. We'll show you another one on Tuesday of next week where we did that, where we went and put it in. But until we reconcile, we're not putting it in yet. So we'll reconcile first. Any additions? Yes. 88 cents. That's a big plus, and that's a big minus. So we received all of 88 cents. Now, what if we had our direct deposit from our check or our refund, our tax refund? That would go there. Cool? Okay, good. Okay, good. You can bring it up front. That would go right there. Okay, thank you. Wasn't too cold outside, was it? A little bit. Yeah, this thing's freezing. Metal. So we lost Mr. Lopez, and who else? Okay. So yes, we put that over here. Now, we're ready to work on our side. We're ready to do our side. Do you see any other transactions? Anybody see any other transactions that were outside? Okay, good. So here is where we put our ending bank statement balance. You see that ending is bold and italics? Are you going to put the beginning bank statement balance? No, you're going to put the ending bank statement balance. If you put the beginning bank statement balance, what do you get? Zopapo. Yeah, you get a Zopapo. Okay. So what's the ending bank statement balance? Everyone, I mean, I wish you would answer me. It's not good for my self-esteem. Okay, what's the ending? Bank statement balance? Oh, 62. I'll be keeping on my toes. So now what we're going to do is reconcile. We're going to say, okay, add the additions. Total, 88 cents. So what's the subtotal? 1362.99. Everybody see that? And then what's the total here? 72.50. We then subtract the. That's why it has a big subtraction sign here. Addition, subtraction. 1362.99 minus 72.50. 1290.49, says Laura. Is she right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so that's our side. Now we're going to do the bank side. We start with the ending bank balance. And this we get from the statement. Or online, we see what the bank says we have in our account. Yes, I'm sorry. Where is it?
Ending checkbook ratio.
Yeah, can you take a joke? Ending checkbook. See, I do that just so you guys would see if you're watching. I'm getting really forgetful. So far, I haven't screwed up any clients yet. That's when I really have to retire. But so far, we're not talking about anything serious yet. Oh. So what's the ending bank statement balance? Laura is having all the fun up here. What's the ending bank statement balance? Derek? 13. It's over here. No, that's the other one. 13.25.77. Right. So we're going to do the exact same thing we did over here for the bank. We have additions. And a big plus sign. And then we have deductions. And typically our deductions will be the deposits in transit. But again, this is very rare nowadays with the new technology. And any others? Total. And then the deductions are typically, or not typically, they almost always are, the outstanding checks or the outstanding transactions. And then any others. Now, are you ever going to see anything other? Are you ever going to see anything here other? Very, very rarely. It means something screwed up at their end. And that's when you have to call them up and say something's not right. There's extra money taken out of my account.
You don't have the interest?
No, that interest is up here. Okay. That's on our side. Okay, so what are the deposits in transit? Everyone should say? Everyone should say? Okay, 118, 488, 85. So that's total here. And then what are the checks outstanding?
154.
You're going to get another joke if you don't answer me. I'm sorry, say that again?
Don't you have to have a 1325?
Yeah, we're going to do that right now. Okay, so what's 1325.77 plus 118? 1444? 1444 and 62 cents. So there's the subtotal. Everybody get that? Okay, so now, what were the checks outstanding?
1754.13.
And so what is our reconciled balance?
1290.49.
You let Laura do it again. Okay, what is it? 1290.49. Yippee! You see what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Is it 55 or
35? Oh, that's it. That's, I'm sorry, it's an 85. I'm sorry. And you see what just happened? Yeah? We reconciled. We now know what the bank is telling us, or the credit union is telling us, is what we have. If you don't do this, whatever they tell you is basically what it is. And remember, on the website, oh no, I don't want this. Go away. On the website is a presentation. There's a presentation that you can watch that goes through it, does it. Right? And then there's that's for the online. You gotta get the online students. They don't have they feel all alone. When you ask the online students, you know, we survey them after the class. They say what did you like about the class? What did you not like about the class? And most of them, or many, will say, I just felt all alone. I really felt like there was nobody there to help me. Well, it is, because we're very we're a social animal. We're like parrots and dolphins. Without that social interaction, we're not very happy. But notice, wait a minute, notice. There's the answer key for the register. And there's the answer key for the reconciliation statement. So now, on your own, you can hide the answers, do it again, do reconciliation problem number 2. The assignment, part of the assignment is the assignment sheet. Cool? Okay, now you're telling me you want to go, right? 5 minutes? You don't want me to show you the spreadsheet? No? All right. So there's no football this weekend, right? Well, good. That's over. So study. Go through the presentations. Go through the assignments. Go through the worksheets. And bring honor and glory to Southwestern College. Because on Tuesday, we'll take a look at the spreadsheets. But then we have credit. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, turn it in. Well, there's 3 short-term financial goals, 3 intermediate-term or long-term, and then 1 non-financial goal.
So like a short-term, like for the first one, is like I get salary of 2,000 each month.
Okay.
I put 500 in my savings account.
So start a save. Okay, so what's the ultimate goal? After 1 year, you want to have $6,000 in your savings.
Okay,
make sure there's a goal.
Okay.
There has to be a goal. Okay, come over here. Look up there. On the website, you'll see you saw the examples.
Yeah.
The rubric for goals. So you see some well-written ones, some not so well-written ones. Make sure there's a goal, a time frame, actions that will lead to the goal, and a priority.
Okay, the last question from the chapter 2 is just like I follow the presentation.
Cash flow and net worth statement.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. But I think I'm late. But thank you, Marcia. What were you laughing about? Was it anything good?
I just remembered
something. Okay. I thought it was something good. I thought you had a joke.
I thought
okay. Kenya. I'm sorry. I called you Kiana.
That's okay.
Okay. There's a Kiana here.
On this one, I left it in my car, by the way, but the personal statement one, I can turn it over.
What is it?
The cash flow. They're pretty much the same thing, just named different, right? Or no?
No. This is the cash flow, which is also called an income statement. This is a net worth, which is called balance sheet. This is what the accountants call them, income statement and balance sheet. We call them cash flow and net worth statement.
So they are.
So you're going to do your own. Your assignment is to do your own.
Yeah, I did one, but then I was like doing it like this, and then I looked down and I'm like, oh, wait, because some of these are over here. That would be right.
No. This is our payment. These are expenses. These are assets. This is what we're paying every month. This is what we own and what we owe. So now wait a minute. This is where it gets confusing. We may have a student loan payment. That goes in the cash flow statement.
Okay, but the total.
This total loan balance goes under liabilities.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, I have that.
That's good.
And can I give you this?
Yes, I hope you can. You just did. Okay, let's staple that. Okay, well done. Okay. You're welcome so much. Okay, excellent. Oh, thank you. Chapter 4. Okay, yes, sir. Let me show you. Okay, what happened? All right, so these are great goals and good actions, but what we need is something that is specific. For example, stay fit and get my condition back. What does that mean? What does it mean for you to be fit? How will you know you've achieved the goal? See what I'm saying? When you can run 10 miles or whatever. You set the goal, but we have to know that you've done it, right? And then let me get my glasses. where are my glasses? They were here just a moment ago. Here they are. No, they aren't. Oh, well, I'll do my best. There they are. Okay. Getting your... That's a whole series of goals, right? Now, I'm not asking you to do them all, but I'm just saying that's a whole series of goals. How often will you study? For how long? When are you going to visit the Academic Success Center? What is the dollar amount? You say, buy my first house. How much do you want within 5 years, 10 years? Another series, become a firefighter. Oh, man, you got to go talk to the folks over in Otay Mesa, right? Because there's a whole series of things you got to do. These are great goals. Most of them are non-financial. Okay, so let's see some more financial and make those actions and the goals specific. And then turn it in again for more credit. Oscar. No, not Oscar.
Oliver.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You didn't get to see him. Do you have your ID number?
Yeah.
I got it. Where is it? Oh, no, I don't have it.
This is chapter 2, right?
Yes, I do have it. Oliver 11. Yes. That's chapter two.
Okay.
Yeah, turn in next week. Okay, so you... Okay, for this one, you see these practice problems?
Yeah.
You're going to do your own. You're going to do your own cash flow statement and net worth statement. And did you see the presentation of how to do the spreadsheets? Okay, sit down. Now remember... No, I'm going to show it to you right now. Don't go away. Sit down. Okay, thank you. Your name is Edgar. Okay, so you go to chapter 2. Look up here and see these spreadsheets, either Excel or Google. Either one. And here's a video that shows you how to use them.
Well, dear student.
Now, I like Google, all right? So if you use Google... What's going to happen is you're going to be able to make a copy, but you have to have a Google account. Do you have a Google account? Okay, so when you do it, you'll see your name right there. Okay. And then you can do File, Make a Copy. Because you can't edit this one.
Okay.
This is mine, okay? Yeah. But you can make a copy, and then you can put all the data in. So then you put in your employment. What? You know, if you don't want to put your real data, that's fine. Just put some make-believe stuff in. For the cash flow and the net worth, the first two pages. But it is in your best interest for your long-term financial success to have your real data here. You don't have to show me your real data. I know it's sometimes very sensitive. And I had one guy, he put in, he's making $800,000 a year, and he's got a Mercedes and stuff. He's smiling the whole time. Yeah. But but still, he didn't have the right amount of taxes. I said, you're making that much money. You're paying a hell of a lot more than 14% tax. Because what this thing does is it just uses 14%, which is stupid. So it's your best interest to have your data. Now, you don't have to show it to me. Just make up numbers. But there's the cash flow, and then there's the net worth. And if you're going to just put in phony data, don't just use the same numbers through here. Just go through and put some good data. Okay.
So what is this doing?
It's actually due today, but don't worry about it. Turn it in. Chapter 1 was due last week. Chapter 2 is due today.
Because I have a mom.
You have a what?
I have. That's what I was asking you.
You have a woman?
No. What do we have to turn in?
Well, you're supposed to turn in Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. But I accept late assignments. Are you? Okay, let me turn this on.